la aplicación llamada Chamba App.
Y descargue ya la aplicación Chamba.
Now, there's an app trying to connect them with potential employers.
Y el nombre es fácil de recordar. Chamba. Chamba, al usuario no le cuesta ni un centavo.
Es la forma más fácil de encontrar trabajo ahorita.
Tells us about one new job-seeking app that's aimed at Latinos who've been struggling with language barriers during the application process.
Pues una nueva aplicación para su teléfono que se llama Chamba te ayuda precisamente a eso, a buscar Chamba.
Chamba is slang for job. A name that Montemayor says reflects the founding team's mission of bringing employers and employees together.
Imposible olvidar el nombre de esta aplicación, Chamba. Así que si busca trabajo, ahí puede entrar y es gratis.
Por eso es por lo que Chamba es el nombre perfecto para esta aplicación que está disponible en versión de iPhone o Android y es gratis para los que buscan trabajo.
Se trata de una aplicación para teléfonos inteligentes con la que puede encontrar empleo gratis.
Pues crear una plataforma donde podemos conectar ese talento con los trabajos.
And this app is free for job seekers and business owners. They can try a 7-day free trial before they join.
Hey everyone, I'm your host Kevin Munoz. You're listening to the Leo Podcast. And before we begin, I'd like to give a special shout out to my patrons who make this show possible. In this episode, I had the pleasure to speak with Corina Hierro, who is one of the people that helped create the Chamba app, an app that's helping people find jobs through the technology that we use every day. By helping companies hire, they amplify job opportunities in overlooked communities. Corina shares her journey with us from being born in Mexico to a news reporter on Telemundo to helping create the Chamba app. We discuss the information needed to use the Chamba app, if undocumented folks can use it, and all about being an entrepreneur. Hope you love the episode as much as I enjoyed recording it.
So my story begins in Mexico, September 29th, 1992, right? So my family decided to immigrate to the US. This was after a long immigration process. It took us 13 years to legally come here. And when we finally got the green light to come in 2000, we moved here to Colorado, small town, Fort Lupton, Colorado. So my parents' goal was always, you know, better opportunities for us to go to college. And that's exactly what happened. I have three older siblings. We all went to college. We graduated. I found an interest in broadcast journalism. Ever since I was little, I really liked talking to people. I loved asking a lot of questions. I was curious. So I pursued, you know, broadcast journalism, and I eventually got a job at Telemundo because I wanted to help out the community. I wanted to be the voice of the voiceless. I wanted to inform and be of use, right? Serve others. It's always been my thing. I want to always feel useful. So I was at Telemundo for about 5 years. I started as a production assistant. I eventually, I was a reporter. So I got to cover a little bit of everything, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the immigrant community, the Latino community here in Colorado. A little bit of everything, meaning also like crime and things like that, or compelling stories. So about storytelling.
That's
right?
Awesome, because Telemundo is like the Latino like network. So
yeah, I mean it's huge. Yeah, it's one of the biggest. So I was really blessed to have that opportunity. I eventually, you know, I felt that I needed to do what I was doing and continue to have an impact on the community, but in a different manner, in a different way that wasn't in a TV news station. So leaving Telemundo, I didn't really have a plan set up. So shortly after that, COVID hit. So I knew initially I wanted to take a couple months off because I did feel burnt out. For anybody that has ever experienced that feeling, it's terrible. You feel unmotivated, uninspired. You know, I was going through a lot of confusion in my head, you know, trying to figure out how can I continue using my skills and my talent outside of the news industry. So I was freelancing for a while for digital media. And I mean, that for me was my confirmation that I couldn't do news in that way anymore. So then the CEO, I mean, one of the co-founders of Chamba, mm-hmm. he reached out and he was like, hey, I have this project, or we have this project going on with this tech company. So, and he said, you know, I know you have you know, that experience with the Latino community, you know, that connection. Mm-hmm. So he invited me to join. And when he was explaining the mission and the vision of Chamba, which was to connect the Latino community with jobs through technology and innovative practices, I was like, I love this. This is going to be it for me. So I joined in on the project last year, and we started, you know, we're all, I mean, as a startup, this is all of our first time. I mean, this is Diego's first time as a CEO. It was my first time in a tech company. You know, the other members that we have, it was also their first time, you know, involved in a tech company. So it's been great. We've been growing a lot. And thanks to the support, you know, that we've had from everybody, from, you know, sharing our posts or, you know, just telling people about it, we've been able to sign up, you know, hundreds of businesses that post jobs with us. And we have over 55,000 users inside of the app. Wow. So we just want to continue growing. So the more users that we have, the more people that we can help out, right?
Right, yeah. And so you guys started this as first timers, right? Back in like in the beginning of the pandemic. So like around April or so.
So the app officially launched in April during the pandemic because, you know, our mission was how can we connect the people that lost their jobs with, you know, jobs that are hiring workers. Yeah. So we wanted to make that connection. And, you know, we thought about, well, everybody has a cell phone, or mostly everybody has a cell phone. Mostly everybody has access to the internet. Mm-hmm. If you have Facebook, you can download an app. You know, it's pretty similar process. It's like a social media. You download it, you put your name in, you put your skills in, and then right there you have, you know, all the job listings in your area. You just select your location, and that's how we've been able to, you know, grow. We're thankful that, you know, news stations have picked us up. That's part of what I do is public relations and, you know, social media marketing and things like that, just to get more exposure. So we're really thankful that, you know, it's been stations like Telemundo, actually, out in Los Angeles.
Got the connections there, right?
Yeah, we aired on national TV. So that was really, really exciting. That was like one of the most exciting moments recently that Chamba has had, because we were able to get more jobs out in states like New York, Miami, Illinois, Texas, and we blew up in the LA area. And then we're expanding, obviously, to Northern California. So we're working, you know, in certain areas just because we're a small team right now. Mm-hmm. So we're working really hard to be in major Latino cities.
Right. First. How many are part of the team? Like how many people?
It's 11 of us.
11. Okay.
Yeah, so we have a marketing team. We have the developers. We have a data analyst. We have me, who I handle, you know, public relations, communications, and then we have Diego. So it's been a wild ride.
And how do you guys come up with the name? Like, I mean, I know that it's slang, and you can go into it, but I have listeners from all over the world that maybe.
Yeah, we just thought, I mean, the name comes from, I mean, there's history behind the name. Mm-hmm. When the U.S. would hire Mexicans to come work in the fields back in the 30s and 40s, you know, people or immigrants would go to the Chamber of Commerce to find jobs. So the chamber, they would call it Vamos a la Chamba. So it comes from there. There's a part of history there. And also Chamba is just a known word, and not only in Mexico, but in other Latin American countries. And it just really captures, you know, humility. It's a humble name. Yeah. So, you know, just like our community.
I love it. Cause I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, Chamba, like, I knew exactly, like, it's something regarding like employment. I was like, as soon as I saw the name,
Yeah, that's the essence that we wanted to have in the name.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask, what type of information do you need to fill out this app? And then walk us through, if I open this app right now, going to the market, what do I need to fill it out and get started?
Yeah, so it's really simple. You simply have to go to your app store if you have an iPhone, or go to Google Play Store if you have an Android. So you basically download the app. It's completely free. You type in Chamba, you download it, and very similar to what you're going to do when you open a Facebook account or an Instagram account. You type in your name, you type in your email, and then you create your user profile, your worker profile. If you're looking for a job, if you're a job seeker, you put in, you know, your category, your skills. And then once you put in your location, the app is going to know, obviously, that your 30-mile radius. So it's going to give you the jobs that are nearest to you. And mm-hmm. directly on the app, you're able to apply to the jobs that are available. And then something really cool that Chamba has is that we help people create their resume. So, okay. you know, some people maybe not that familiar with resumes and things like that. So we wanted to make it simple and easy for them to be able to just answer questions. You know, how many years of experience do you have? Where have you worked? So the system, the platform sets it up in a way that the employer is able to see it in a resume style, where it's easy to know, you know, who's applying to the job.
Oh, that's interesting. That's great. I'm curious about that more of, so do you guys, is it a questionnaire? Like it comes up like when you apply, it just asks you some questions that will then turn into some kind of like resume document that the employers see, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So the app turns it into a document on the employer side. So that way that the employer can see, you know, who you are, your skill set and everything and their contact information. And for the employer side, you post a job through the website, through the professional dashboard, and we give you metrics. So we give you, you know, how many clicks, how many views, how many applicants, and the employer can really choose what plans they want after the 7-day free trial. Because we're only charging employers. We don't charge the job seeker. Like, yeah, why would we charge asking to find a job, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, if it's free for the users, how do you guys bring in, like, revenue?
That's how we bring in revenue, is because we charge employers and we do have a 7-day free trial. And the reason for that is because I know we're growing and we're expanding, but, you know, certain cities and certain states might not have, you know, a lot of users and things like that. You know, the resources enough to fill your positions that of the job that you're posting. So we always want to give the employer a good experience to try us out, 7-day free trial. And after that, you are able to choose if you want to be charged per applicant. So you're getting charged per lead. We have another plan where, you know, you can pay monthly $39.99 for 3 job listings, or we work, you know, with huge companies like staffing companies who usually need 30, 50, 100 people. So they have the unlimited plan, and the unlimited plan is $100. And that, I mean, unlimited postings, you can post in different cities. So it's really what's more convenient to you as a company or as an employer.
Gotcha. Okay. What states do you see the most activity in?
The states that we see the most activity in right now is California. So California really, like I said, it really blew up with, you know, the media coverage that we had. And it was amazing because it all started, it was like a domino effect. And it started because a reporter at La Opinion, which is a huge newspaper out in Los Angeles. Okay. You know, I think it's the second most read newspaper. They also have digital. This reporter found us on TikTok, and she reached out. Like,
TikTok.
Wow, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. I want to talk to you guys. And from there, you know, I mean, working in news, I know how it works. You know, you're always on the lookout for stories on the newspaper or here and there, smaller digital outlets and things like that. So then Telemundo picked us up, and we didn't know we were going to air on national TV or anything like that. Initially it was just LA, but the way it works in the news industry is that it's a producer out in, you know, the national news station sees the story, they can pick it up and just air it. So that's exactly what happened, and we were kind of clueless at first because we aired out in LA, so we were very happy. And then that same day at night, we had our numbers going up and up and up and up, and we were like, what is going on? Why are we getting like so many users at the same time? So then former colleagues, you know, told me and messaged me like, hey, dude, I just saw you on freaking national TV. You guys are doing great with Chamba. And I was like, what? I didn't even know.
That's so amazing. Were you guys ready to handle that kind of traffic? Like
it gave us a lot of traction. So for a couple of days there, I think it was over a week, we were like nonstop answering. We were nonstop helping people out. We were just working. So, I mean, I'm thankful that we did have the capacity to handle the boom. Of course, we're continually working to make the app better, you know, fixing any bugs and things like that, just like anything. So, I mean, yeah, we were able to handle it. And of course, we're working towards more, but I don't know when we're going to have another, you know, national television moment. So, you know, we just work as we work as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, what's some of the challenges that you guys have faced, especially as being like first time doing this kind of stuff, right? What are the biggest challenges that you guys have been met with?
I mean, I can say from my perspective, I came into the project having an idea of how to capture an audience online, but I didn't come, I don't have like a marketing per se background. I have a news background. So I think for us, it's been a lot of really coming up with ideas, you know, being creative and really just executing, even if it comes to, you know, experimenting to see what works and what doesn't work. And as far as the app, you know, it's hard to, you know, develop an app with so many features, and, you know, there's two different apps. We have a professional dashboard. Oh, okay. So it was a lot of elements at the same time. So I think, I mean, even there, even just submitting an app to be approved by Apple or submitting the app to be approved by Android is such a huge process, because, you know, you have to have certain things, you have to meet certain criteria.
Yeah.
So that's always, you know, a trial and error, trial and error, trial and error.
And the fee that you have to pay for like Apple Market, right? To be on the Apple, like.
It's everything. Yeah.
It's so much that goes into it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, I mean, just having people coming to the platform, coming up with ways with a limited budget to get the word out, you know, whether it's Facebook ads, whether it's social media posts, or working with different accounts or working with influencers. That was all a new area that I was exploring, even, you know, working with influencers. I mean, I haven't been ever on that side. So it's been a journey. I've learned a lot, and I continue to learn. I think we're all in the same boat, that we continue to learn consistently, because I mean, it's tech. So you always have to be updated with new trends, what's going on, software. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And let's get more into the nitty gritty of it. I wanted to see what you said. California is the state that you see the most activity on. Which industry do you see also the most postings of?
Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen on the news even, how a lot of employers are struggling to find workers, and this is happening across the board, you know, in different states. So what we are seeing a lot right now is, warehouse jobs, restaurant jobs, just because we have a reopening economy and businesses are opening up, they need workers. But the most that we see is definitely restaurants. And we also have, you know, the cleaning jobs, the construction jobs. We have had like sales jobs, you know, administrative jobs too, receptionist jobs. So we're working to also bring in, you know, more variety of jobs. But that's what, you know, people need the most, or employers need the most right now, especially with these big staffing companies.
Are you guys seeing a lot of more postings than people taking jobs because of that as well?
In different areas, it's yeah. Because for example, I can say in California, we have really good traction. In other areas, when, for example, here in Colorado, we're seeing a lot of restaurant jobs. But we're not seeing a lot of applicants. And, you know, there's theories, of course, experts have talked about this too. People were forced to, you know, reinvent themselves during the pandemic. Some don't want to go back because of COVID. Salaries are not competitive. you know, the cost of living is really high, for example, here in Colorado. So for a restaurant or a business to be paying you $14 an hour, it's not very competitive. And right now, since there's so many jobs, like people are able to, you know, pick what they want. So they have a lot of variety. They have, I think it's more that the cost of living and, you know, competitive wages.
Absolutely. And so if I go into the app and I put like, I'm looking for like finance jobs, would it more cater me towards that? Or is it just,
so it has like an algorithm that matches you up with those kind of, go get a management job. This is how you can, you know, get a better salary, things like that. So we can really help out in that way as well, because we want people to be able to move up in their career and right. not stay in the same place with the same pay for years and years and years. So I think it's really useful to have, you know, technology, just because you have access to information, to resources. So it's something that we're all going to be implementing, here soon. Yeah. But we did start with, you know, the resume building, and also, we have this cool thing inside of the app. It's called the video pitch. So you can send a 15-second video of yourself, kind of like, so awesome. That employers have a better idea of who's applying to the job. Like, say, hi, my name is Corina. I have experience in this and that, and I'm applying because I really like your company, et cetera, like, you know, 15-second. Right. So it's a snippet. So yeah, it's innovation. We try to come up with new ways of making it easy, user-friendly for people to find jobs and for employers to find their workers.
That's interesting. I really like that video idea. That's awesome, because more like of a personalized message, I feel like would make more of an impression for employers. I'm thinking from my perspective, if I'm applying for a job, like, do you guys think you're going to add in like reviews or like mm-hmm. being able to yes. like report a company if you know, just to protect the user from like fake postings or things like that?
Yeah, so we are closely monitoring the posts that come in. We've already had some really sketchy jobs come into the app, so we automatically we delete them, and people also have the option to report. And we're working right now on a rating system where it's a rate my boss, because obviously we take care of the people on our app. We're not going to want, you know, bad management or terrible bosses to be able to hire on the app, because I mean, that would be terrible. We want to make a successful connection in a place where you can grow and learn.
I think even by nature, like in our community, I think we're just born with like trust issues because of all the things that we go through, especially if we grew up in like our home countries. Like, I was born in Guatemala, and like the banks, you know, we're just, the mistrust is there. And mm-hmm. it's, have you seen like a hurdle of showing people like you can trust this?
I mean, at first we were faced with a lot of skepticism. Mm-hmm. Because one of the ways that we started when we very first started was joining Facebook groups and promoting the app on there, because usually how the immigrants or a lot of Latinos, how they get jobs is word of mouth. Hey, my cousin knows about this job, go apply, and Facebook groups. So we were posting about the app consistently on Facebook groups or different even WhatsApp groups. Oh, yeah. And we were faced with, you know, skepticism of people, you know, people calling us a scam. So we really had to build that credibility as well. Like, hey, this is a legitimate company. Right. We won't take your information. You don't even put in any sensitive information. So we're not trying to harm anybody. And I think a lot of the media coverage helped too, just because, I mean, we've had English stations cover Chamba, and as well as, you know, TV stations like Telemundo. Mm-hmm. So that definitely gives us a lot of credibility as well. And we don't want people thinking that we're here to do anything bad. We actually just want to help out by any means through technology.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love what you guys are doing. And especially because, you know, during the pandemic, like, the Latinos were the ones that bore the brunt of it. Yep. with the job losses and not even acquiring like stimulus checks for exactly. A large majority of the immigrants. So I love that this is like a byproduct of that. And this is how you guys, there's like a solution for that. I was also gonna go off and ask how, you say you don't collect information, that at least like sensitive information, right? So that means that undocumented people can apply through here as well.
Yeah, we don't care about your immigration status. On the app, like I mentioned, it's your name, your email, your contact information, and a radius of the area where you live, because we don't even take your address. So once the employer, you know, sees your application, then of course it really depends on each employer, on each okay. business, you know, if they go through the E-Verify process. But yeah, we don't care about your immigration status. You can use the app, you can download it, you can recommend it, you can tell your friends, your buddies, your familia, your tios about it. It's safe.
Okay. And what do you say to the comments where I went through this popular Twitter post and someone was like, this seems like a scam. They're just going to sell our information to like ICE. How would you respond to that?
We have no connections with any government agency. We don't collect social security numbers, ITIN numbers, and we are definitely not a scam. So we are here to help you connect with a job based on your skills and, mm-hmm. you know, really get people back on their feet financially if they experience job losses.
Yeah. And then you've gained some credibility too, as well, from like news coverage and you're gaining traction as well on Instagram. I love all the videos you guys post with like the jobs of people doing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I was also curious, to my understanding right now, it's only available in the US, right? Do you have any plans of expanding as you get bigger, as you grow, to Latin America? Because I feel like it'd be a huge hit there as well.
Yeah, it's in our plans, but we do want to be well established here in the US first. We do get a lot of messages from people out in Canada and Colombia and Argentina, okay. you know, in Honduras, Guatemala, everywhere. We've had people out in Europe even send us messages like, hey, are you guys not over here? Immigrants are also over here. Yeah. So we are planning on expanding, of course, that'll come eventually. But we are trying to capture the market here in the US first.
Yeah.
Obviously, once we expand the team and everything else, then we are going to be able to open the app to other countries. I mean, that's just going to imply a lot of more members in the team, grow the company. But right now right. we have those areas of focus, which are the biggest Latino cities like Chicago, LA, Miami, Orlando, Houston, Dallas, border cities. So,
where are you guys now in the stage, as far as like funding wise?
So we got our first round of funding last year and we're actually, you know, trying to raise our second round now. It's pre-seed.
Okay. And you found like some success in that, because I would love to see this grow.
Yeah, well, we do have interested VCs and we have interested investors. So we're hoping to get our next round here in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, you know, if not next couple of months, but we are trying to also generate revenue from other have other avenues of revenue in the meantime. Mm-hmm. Because we also have tickets on the app for events. You know, okay. how usually for Latino events like Dances Bailes, they ask you to go to a store to physically buy the ticket. So we have that on the app too, where you can download a QR code, you pay on the app, and you know, people are able to just scan their code once they get to the event. And then
that's huge. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge too. You know, for people that go to jaripeos and right. dances or a banda comes or whatever, it's going to be so much easier for people to access their tickets and download it on their phone just mm-hmm. by purchasing it on Chamba instead of having to drive to a store, physically buy the ticket, right, and then go to the event. So this is what I'm talking about, just being innovative. You know, how can we make it easier for people to have access to everything, resources, events, information, jobs? And then here soon, you will see some merch. So we're trying to have some merch, launch some, so people can, you know,
Rep
Chamba. We've had messages from people asking, hey, I love your shirt, like, where do I buy one? Or, hey, I love the coffee cup, where do I buy one? So we thought about, hey, people are supporting us so much, so why not, you know, give them that option of, you know, repping Chamba wherever they're at. We can mail it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me know when that coffee cup is out, because I am always looking for a new coffee mug. Yeah.
No, thank you. For sure. We will be letting everyone know on our socials. And once we, of course, finalize all that, we'll be letting everybody know about that.
So what age range do you see them? Do you have, I'm sure you have access to like a candidate, right? Like what age do you see most of people applying or in the app?
So since we don't ask that in the app, I don't have access
okay.
to age ranges. But I can talk about, you know, the jobs that we see the most.
Gotcha.
You know, the places where we're seeing the most traction, which is actually New York too. We're seeing a lot of traction out of New York and California.
Yeah.
But you know, from the messages that we get on social media, it's people in their late 20s and 30s and early 40s.
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you think as you grow, it'll be easier to find jobs within like other states, in closer proximity? Cause I went on it and I put in like, I'm in Central Jersey, which is a thing. It's always a debate in Jersey, but, and I get a lot from like the Bronx. But mm-hmm. a few, like an hour out. So it's a lot more closer to New York, and that's probably different in California, right? Just because there's mm-hmm. more postings there. Mm-hmm. Do you think as you grow, that's going to be something that I'll be seeing like maybe closer and closer, because that's dependent on yes. the employers.
Mm-hmm. So since we are handling a marketplace, so the difficult thing about handling a marketplace is you're handling two types of users. You have the businesses or the employers and the job seekers. So when it comes to growth, you have to be very strategic about growing the jobs and growing the user base in those same areas. Otherwise, you have a unsatisfied business or mm-hmm. unsatisfied users. So that's why, you know, we've been maneuvering through the Facebook ads, the social mm-hmm. media ads, or Google ads, and also press. So we can have a balanced, you know, ecosystem in different areas. We don't want it to be unbalanced. Of course, we've had jobs even pop up in really, really small cities and, you know, East Coast, where we're not super strong. Say, for example, Delaware. Okay. We've had jobs pop out on there, and geez, like, we want to help these businesses have successfully hire their workers. But if we don't have a consistent user base in these areas, then, you know, the jobs fall. So it's all about balancing everything out. And of course, like I mentioned, we are a small team. So we're focusing, right. you know, on the states that we do have the most traction and the states that have the majority Latino population or bilingual folks. But we do get messages from everywhere, from Pennsylvania, from Tennessee, people asking, and, you know, for jobs, or really, you know, saying, hey, thanks for launching this app, I'll wait for you guys to get big out here. So we've had a ton of support, and we're so thankful for that too.
Awesome. And walk us through any features that maybe I didn't talk about or missed from both the employers and like as a user.
Yeah. So we are working to, you know, have the final touches done on the Chamba business app. Because we do have two apps. So it's the Chamba app for the job seeker and the Chamba business app for the employer. Right now, we're redirecting everyone to the professional dashboard, which you can access, obviously, on your internet, on your phone, or on your computer. But we are finalizing touches on that. And obviously, we are working to, you know, make everything better when it comes to resumes, adding more features on there. Because we, as we expand and we get feedback from staffing companies or from organizations, you know, they obviously have years and years of experience hiring, and they'll give us, you know, tips of advice like, hey, you should add this feature, or you should add that, or you should take off this. So we're always very, I love that we are very receptive, which you have to be as a company. You have to be very open to feedback, to constructive criticism, and even hate comments, because that's what comes with, you know, having a social media presence and, you know, being a company or an entity. So, so that's where we're doing, you know, constantly, you know, working here, working in different areas. We wear different hats. So I think we are all very talented folks. And that's what really makes us come together is having this mission to, you know, help people connect with jobs. It's an underserved community. So this is why we're working towards a common goal.
And you're doing God's work.
I feel like this is my calling.
Absolutely. Mean, when you feel like that, it's, you know, that's what they say. You don't feel like you're working, right? Because you're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
I was to say, for new entrepreneurs that are looking to start maybe even their own app or a business, how do you deal with, because you need feedback. That's very important. How do you deal with negative feedback? Because that's often what we as humans, our eyes just go to, right? Like, you can get all the positive feedback in the world, but that one like negative feedback will just stick with you.
I think the way that we've dealt with it is just take it with a grain of salt and also take it from who it's coming from. Of course, as an entrepreneur, you have mentors and you have people, you know, advising you. But when it comes to, you know, hate comments, you have to be open to listening to them. Obviously, they're coming from somewhere. Sometimes you have to really analyze, you know, are they right? Or am I doing something wrong? We talk about it in the team. Cause we don't want to, of course, whatever you do in life, you're going to get hate comments, whatever it is that you're going to do in life, you're going to have criticism. But I think it's just really important to have an open mind and not take it personally. And just continue bettering your product or your service, but you do have to be really open to listening to everybody, whether that's good comments, bad comments, hate comments, your mentors' feedback.
I love it. Let's talk about the competitors. What are some competitors that you guys, or would you view as competitors? Like, I would think, like, what sets you guys apart from like an Indeed, right? Or like a LinkedIn?
As far as competitors, I wouldn't say Indeed. I would say, I mean, for this particular job market, the blue collar jobs, I would say Craigslist and Facebook groups. That's a big competition. Of course, we have other job platforms that we always, you know, look at to see what they're doing. But of course, since we're doing similar but different things, it's also good to look at your competition, but remain true to what your company stands for and what your company is doing. So not everything is going to fit into one. But I would say that's the biggest competition.
Awesome. And is there anything that I missed that you want to go over as well?
No, I just want to say, you know, I'm thankful. We're thankful for, you know, the people that reach out, that want to talk to us, you know, whether it's podcasts, interviews, radio shows, the people who reshare our stuff or really connect to our mission. We're really blessed to be here serving the community. This is what drives us. This is what gets us out of bed every day. So it's really, you know, we're thankful for people like you that reach out and that, you know, that want to know what we're about. And we're here to help, you know, anybody that has questions, whether it's entrepreneurship questions or how to launch a company. I mean, everything is welcome. And we obviously try to help as much as we can. We get tons of messages and emails, but we're working hard. We're consistent and we're here to stay. I know this is going to be big. So I believe in it so much. That's why I'm in it full time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the similar, a similar mindset that we all have in the team. That's why we believe in it. We're here. We're sacrificing a lot for it. So, I am excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. It's a very scary part of being, an entrepreneur, right? You just, when you decide to leave something and go into something new, how has that journey been for you?
It was nerve-wracking at first because it was a conscious effort of staying present too and not thinking so much about, oh, the uncertainty of the future or, oh, the uncertainty of, you know, my past. You know, you really have to stay present and really believe in yourself too. Believing in yourself is huge, and really executing, reading, learning, getting around the right people, getting mentorship, getting advice, and really surrounding yourself with people that are going to motivate you and drive you towards your goals. But it is, I mean, you have to really come back to yourself every time you get those doubts in your head. Of course, you have to not be afraid of failure, because as an entrepreneur, you know, not everything that you do is going to work out. You have to pivot. You have to, you know, see some losses, or maybe a project didn't work out, but we all jumped into it fully knowing and understanding, hey, it might not work out, but we're going to do it anyway. There's this famous quote that says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So even if it's a huge failure, which is not, it would be such a learning experience. It would be, you know, it would give us just more leverage to even launch another company or another startup.
I love that. And I'm trying to include more of like mental health, because I think it's very important in our lives, especially for like people of color. And I'm wondering, like, what are some of the things that you do that helps harden like your mental health?
I think it's really good to ground yourself. Sometimes you do need to step away from the computer, from the phone, from the calls, from the emails, from the meetings. And what I do is step outside or go to the park or do something, have a break. We've had this conversation too within the team about it. Whenever you feel like Chamba is being annoying or you're not feeling it, just step out, step back for a minute, come back to it later when you feel a little bit better, even if it's 10, 15 minutes, because when you're working with an exhausted mind, you're not going to be making the best decisions. You're going to be just annoyed. You're not going to be at your fullest potential. So I think it's really important to also take care of yourself, because if you take care of yourself, you're taking care of the team too.
Yep. Great perspective. Where can people reach you? You're on like all social medias, right?
Yeah. So people may reach us on Instagram, which is Chamba Latina altogether. You may reach us on Facebook, which is Chamba App with the blue logo. We always say that we are Chamba with the blue logo, because I know we had some copycats launch after us, actually.
Oh, really?
In New York and also in another country. I think it was Bolivia. So always make sure it's the blue logo. You may reach us on LinkedIn. We have Twitter. We have TikTok. We have all the social medias, and feel free to message us on there. I'm very consistent with, you know, answering messages as fast as I can, even comments, questions. And so feel free to send in your questions, doubts, or anything like that. Okay, cool. We'll be there to help.
Awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes as well, and an area for people to click on. Are you guys looking to expand the team right now, or are you waiting till you get more funding to grow the team, in case like people are interested to, like, hey, I want to work for this company. Like, mm-hmm. I want to help them grow and such.
Yeah. So we are waiting on that funding. That's really important right now to be able to expand the team. We've had, you know, very interested people, you know, messages wanting to join, even wanting to volunteer to, you know, share flyers or post them in their communities. But we are looking to expand, obviously, and that's going to come once we get, you know, our second round of funding.
Okay, great. Well, that's all the questions I have from my end. If you have anything else, you go ahead.
No, I want to ask you, how'd you find us and what drives you?
Yeah. So when I messaged you, I was like, I saw you on a mutual's like story, Native SF, put it on her story. And I was just like, well, like I saw the Chamba and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I like clicked on it. And then I went into like a whole thing of it. I was like, oh, whoa, this is awesome. Like this is, this
like a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It's like a little mini rabbit hole of it. And then, I did research on it and I thought it was great. Like it's awesome for a community. I'm always looking for like things that uplift the community. And this is like an amazing resource. And I messaged you and I'm so happy that you answered and to have you on here to share more about it and answer all my questions and maybe some questions too that the listeners might have.
Thank you.
As far as what drives me, I think the major component that drives me is just my family. Just knowing, I came over when I was 7 years old from Guatemala. Hey. So, oh my God, that's awesome. And so then, you know, the struggles as well, you know, that sacrifices that are made. So mm-hmm. I look to them to keep me humble as well as just to drive me because we've done so much and they've sacrificed so much as well. So I'm always looking for ways to improve my life as well as uplift others through either like right now it's podcasting. I feel like I love podcasting because I get to meet people like yourself. So really what drives me is honestly just the people around me and looking to better myself as well as uplift the community.
Yeah, I think it's very fulfilling work, you know, knowing that you're having an impact to, you know, in somebody's life or in many people's lives, or just knowing that you're using your God-given talents for something positive, right? I think that's very fulfilling. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of us, that's what we look for in the workspace.
Yeah, and I work as like my full-time job is financial analyst, but I'm always like there and I'm thinking like, if my employer is listening, I'm sorry, Nick, but I'm always sitting there. I'm like, I need to be doing bigger things. And by bigger things, I want to be doing things that help my community because that's just what I feel is, mm-hmm. like I said, that's what drives me, but that's just, it's what I want to, be doing in my life, you know, and just inspire others and just bring as much change as that I can. So
this is a great way of doing it, you know, with your podcast, with your social media accounts, mm-hmm. you know, giving out information, providing resources for people that even that is just amazing for the people that don't have where to go for this type of information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've come a long way. I mean, I'm very driven. I'm super motivated. It hasn't even been like a year already. And I've had like amazing support from the community. So
that's great to hear. That's what we love to see. I think we need more Latinos helping other Latinos, and you're doing an amazing job.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Is there any other questions that you might have for me?
Is there any statistics that we maybe didn't cover? Like the number of users registered you mentioned.
I don't have the number right now. I would have to go through the engineers.
That's okay. Developers. Yeah.
We just want to help both sides, both the employers and both the job seekers, to you know, find that connection. I know we're really struggling in some areas to fulfill those positions, but I think that it's been an eye-opener for a lot of businesses that they need to have a competitive wage or competitive wages, because in some cities you cannot live. If you have a family, you can't live on $14 an hour, $15 an hour. You can't even afford a 2-bedroom apartment. Right. So that's also, I hope, you know, we're going to bring more, you know, conscientiousness about this topic, because we want people to live good, right, and not live in poverty.
That's interesting, actually. So what are some, like, is that one of the major struggles that you guys see, at least?
Currently, yes. Especially in the restaurant industry, because these are jobs that are really tough. Yeah. When it comes to, you know, being a cook or a dishwasher, they're really demanding jobs. And if you're not paying your workers well, I mean, they're not going to last. And if you're not providing opportunities for growth, they're going to leave. It's going to be like a revolving door. Just come in, come out, come in, come out. But I think that's pretty much that's very normal in the restaurant industry from what I've interviewed, you know, business owners and, you know, in the restaurant industry. And that's what they all say. They're pretty used to it. But I think right now it's even more obvious and they're seeing it firsthand, you know, everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. And that's interesting too, because they would get for them to get feedback, right? If they post a job that they don't get that much, like if they post pay, but they're not getting that many applicants, it's maybe like a wake up call. Like, hey, maybe I should like up my, my wage, right?
Yeah. And you have to be fair with wages when it comes to cities that are expensive to live in, because we see a lot of people obviously that work far from their job. They can't afford to live in the city where they work, so they have to drive out an hour out or 45 minutes out, an hour and a half out.
Yeah, the commute is real.
Social change, it's gonna take some time, but I think we're, how you say it in Spanish, poniendo el granito de arena, to make the world a better place.
Absolutely. And last thing, what are you most excited for when it comes to like the app? Where do you see it like even a year from now?
I'm really excited once we get funding, what that's going to look like, what expansion is going to look like, what sales is going to look like in different states or in different countries. I'm excited to see Chamba grow outside of the U.S. and in places where Chamba is needed. So I think that's something that I find very, very interesting and very exciting. I'm waiting for it, but you know, step by step, we're gonna get there.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm here for it, and so is the community. So I'm excited to see. I'll keep an eye on this one.
No, thank you.
And I'll probably be using it as well. And I already let my parents know. I was like, "Did you see this? Like, this is awesome!" Like,
hey, that's cool. Yeah, no, thank you for spreading the word. Of course, there's going to be more updates coming up on the app. So wait on that. And of course, we want to make the user experience really simple, really easy to navigate. So the more feedback that we get, the better. I mean, that lets the developers know, you know, what they can tweak and change. And I'm sure just like any social media app or any tech startup, you pivot, you make changes, you upgrade, you everything to make it better and easier.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all the knowledge that you brought to us and to share.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity. And I hope this is not the last time that we talk.
No, absolutely not. This definitely will have more. Maybe we even come back to an update episode and see where you guys are in the future, right?
For sure. No, thank you. And I hope to talk to you again in the near future. And you're always welcome to, you know, follow us on social media and keep following our journey. thank you for the support.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a follow on Spotify. It helps me tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinAmericaNeo. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, latinamericaneo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is not investment advice, and I am not a qualified, licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only and should not be construed as personal investment advice. Conduct your own due diligence or consult a licensed financial advisor or broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk.
financial or otherwise.